Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details, or contact us at PR@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, another day, another exciting opportunity for me to learn and share an important and, in today's case, a prolific author with you. He is John Dalglish. John was born in Toronto, Canada, and when he was 16, moved to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It was there that he met his wife, Bev, 36 years later, and they have 3 sons and 7 grandchildren. John is now an American citizen and lives in Southwest Missouri. He was 18 when he attempted his first book, but it was never finished. Encouraged by his wife, he tried again. And with tremendous support from readers, he has been able to devote full time to writing, and Bev is now his cover designer. He is the author of 3 different series that he refers to as clean fiction novels. And I am ready to learn more, so welcome to the network, John.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I was very interested to find out what you mean about clean fiction and why that's important to you.
Well, my first attempt at a novel was a book called Where's My Son? Not when I was 18, but since I started writing again. Because in the detective mystery genre, so much of what you read has the hard, smoking, drinking detective, I felt like I had to put in some swear words and that sort of thing for effect and realism. But to me, they just didn't feel real. It felt fake. And I pulled them out, and the response from the readers was fantastic. It turns out, I mean, my wife and I, we read, we'll skip past a lot of that stuff just because it's not part of our daily lives. And it turns out there's a lot of people in this country that feel the same way.
Well, you are in control of these characters, or at least in the beginning, and so you can decide how you want them to be. And obviously, if swearing doesn't fit in with their personality and then you pop a couple words in, then it does feel disingenuous.
That's true. And it's interesting because, and I'm not criticizing any other writer. This is just the route that I chose to go. And as a new writer, back when I started, you're really trying to find a niche. And in the mystery genre, sometimes it can be your characters and sometimes it can be the story. In my case, I found a group of people that were excited to find something that was not written that way, but more of a what I call clean. And it gave me an audience, and it has grown. It's been such a blessing to have this group of people that support your writing. Not only do they like the stories, but they like the fact that they didn't have that stuff in them.
Well, obviously what you do works because you were able to devote full time to writing, which is a writer's author's dream.
Yes, I've been very fortunate. And the books have been supported, each one that came out. And as a result, I get to do this all the time. And that does make me spoiled, I'm sure.
No, that's good. That's a good thing. All right, so 3 series. We have the City Murders series, the Detective Jason Strong series, and the Chaser Chronicles series. Which was the first?
The first was Jason Strong, mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I get letters all the time asking me why the detective took so long to show up in Where's My Son, the first book, because he really doesn't show up until about a third of the way through. And the interesting part about that was that Where's My Son was an effort to see if I could do this. The book was written as a standalone, and afterwards, when people were reading it and that sort of thing, I kind of thought, you know, I kind of like this guy, and if the book does all right, maybe I'll make a series out of him. And so that's how the series came to be, but he doesn't even show up. I tell people I met him the same time they did, because it was about a third of the way through the book when he showed up. But the series has, in the beginning, it was some novellas and stuff. It's since grown to full-length novels, and they have a real fan base. It's really enjoyable.
And are you done with Jason Strong?
No, I don't know. I don't have any plans to end that series. Okay. It's at number 17, I think. I think I'm getting ready to start number 18. I've tried to make the characters change over time, as if they are getting older. Mm-hmm. They have kids. The kids grow. There's been changes in leadership as the series went on at the department, that sort of thing. So I try to keep them interesting by their lives changing, and thereby keeps it interesting for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the Detective Jason Strong series is still going strong.
Yes.
All right. So the next group of series.
Well, I wrote at the same time I was writing Jason Strong series, I wrote The Chaser Chronicles, which at this time has ended at 6 books.
Right.
It is a straight Christian fantasy adventure type series. The concept, which is purely for fun, it has no basis in actual religion, is a guy whose job, how can I put this? He's chosen to be a chaser, which is somebody that is signed on by God, so to speak, to go after people that have refused to go to heaven. That's the simplest way I can put it. Or refused to cross over. When somebody sees that they've died and they're about to cross over, they decide to run, hence they become a runner. And it becomes the main character's point. He has to sleuth and find them and make them, the word is crossover. And it's just a fun series. It's got some suspense into it. The characters are fun. But it's a Christian-based series. I wrote it at the same time. The City Murders is the latest series I've done. And it was an effort on my part to stay in the genre, but entertain myself by having different stories in different places. So the Jason Strong series takes place in San Antonio, Texas. The City Murders allows me to go to different places around the country, and there the research and thereby the new characters each time gives myself something interesting to look at. And as a result, I have new characters in different situations, and so I've really enjoyed doing it. It's through number 7 now, I think.
So a lot going on. Detectives and murders, why does that interest you? Were you always interested in that?
That's what I read. As a writer, trying to do a mystery where you're giving the people enough to try and figure it out on their own, because people like a challenge to figure it out, I think readers do, and they want to know if they can figure it out before you get to the end. But at the same time, if you can get them all the way to the end before they figure it out, it creates a really good mystery, I think. Our writers try for the "I didn't see that coming," but you have to be fair, too. You have to give them the ability, the clues have to be there, to, in fairness, that they can actually figure it out. It can't just come out of the blue, this guy did it, and I never even heard his name since page 1, that sort of thing. So building that kind of a book is a challenge for me, and I enjoy it.
Well, it sounds like you understand the craft. Did you take classes? Did you study? Or was this, as you're writing, through trial and error and just figuring it out?
I didn't take any classes, per se, but there's so much really good stuff online that you can, if you make the effort, you can find a lot of good instruction. There's a lot of, not necessarily how-tos, but how to make it better. And combined with trying to just be a little better each book, those have gone a long way. Finally, I have to say that a good editor is priceless. I have found a solid editor who every book makes me better as a writer, and I just can't be thankful enough for that.
I'm glad you said that. You could have a great story and great characters, but if that piece is missing, then you're missing the boat. So thank you for talking about the importance of a quality editor.
Yeah, I can't stress that strong enough. You can spend a lot of money, especially as an indie author. You can spend a lot of money on covers and people to help you format and that sort of thing. But if you're trying to, or at least I am, I'm trying to get a reader to sink themselves into the book, into that world, and enjoy that world. And so when you have typographical errors, and when you have sentences that don't make sense, and when you have paragraphs that are out of place and this sort of thing, it jars the reader out of the story.
Yes.
And it makes it very difficult for them to stay with it, and they'll get frustrated or disgusted or whatever the case may be. And so for my money, I'll pay for a solid editor above all else, because the story is ultimately what makes your book.
Great conversation. And especially if you're writing a series or if you're writing more than one book, you want to make sure that the person who gets that first book is happy and that they come back for more. So lots of reasons why editing is an important process. I'm glad we talked about that. All right. Missing Chloe is the title of your newest book. Let's talk about it.
It's I've done two what you would call standalone or one-offs. One was Keiko's War, which has to do with the Japanese incarceration in this country after the attack on Pearl Harbor. And it was outside my genre. It was more romance than anything. And then Missing Chloe is another standalone. And it didn't fit into either series because of the structure of the story, but I mentioned my editor. This book really excited her. And most books I get back from her, she's like, another solid read. You need to fix this. I enjoyed it. So, yada, yada, yada. And this one, I got an email back from her, and she just was beside herself. She just loved it. And so I'm hopeful that it will garner a new audience. I think it's a good mystery, but it's also a good story.
Can you give us a little peek, but no spoilers?
Yeah, I can try. essentially, it starts with, as the title says, a guy comes home in the evening, it's a normal day, but discovers that his daughter is missing. His wife's there and his son, but his daughter is missing. And that event, everything that takes place from that moment on through the end of the book, is a direct result of the missing girl. So it's what happens to that family from that moment on until the end. And it does involve betrayal and lies and murder and all the stuff of a good mystery, I hope. But it's all that the missing little girl is the flashpoint for the story. And then what happens to the family from that point forward.
Missing Chloe. Is that out yet?
It is out, okay, yes. It's out on Amazon. The paperback just got released on Amazon also, and I have an audiobook being done of it.
Okay, and it's Chloe with a C. It's Missing Chloe, C-H-L-O-E.
Correct.
Yep, you're right. Now, all of your books are available in audio format, which is exciting. Tell us about that process in case we have some author listeners who have not explored that option.
From an author standpoint, audiobooks are... The main way that I do them is through what's called ACX, or it's an exchange run by Amazon, whereby producers and narrators are connected with writers, and the contract is done and everything's done, and then the book is released through them as an audiobook. And from a writer's standpoint, it's a fairly simple process. Most of the work is done by the producers, usually the producer narrator is the same person. And so essentially I'll take a book like Missing Chloe and I will put it up there and say a few things about how long it is, what genre it is, whether I want a male or female narrator, or it doesn't matter. And then it gets posted on their site. And you have narrators that will send you auditions, assuming somebody wants to do it. from the auditions, you're able to select a narrator, and then there's a contract drawn up, which is basically an Amazon contract, for them to produce the first 15 minutes and then the finished book in a certain amount of time that you get to review those, and then it goes up on Amazon when it's done. And from a writer standpoint, it's fairly simple to do. All the work is done by the narrator, but if you get a good narrator, they can really bring your story to life, and it's another form for people to find your books.
Okay, so do you as the author still own all the rights to that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can actually still take the audiobook down if for some reason you're unhappy, although there's contractual things there. But you maintain all the rights to the book. You're not giving anything up other than in contract with the narrator and Amazon to release the audiobook. Now, you can release it not through Amazon. It's a different process, but more of a wide distribution. But I just find it easier.
Okay.
Most of my stuff's done through Amazon. But yeah, you don't give anything up in the sense, but it's another way for people to find you, because audiobooks are growing quite a bit.
That's why I asked. It sounded like you had a handle on it, since you have all of these books in audio format.
Yeah, the degree you want to be involved in as an author is up to you when it comes to the audiobooks. In other words, you can listen to every minute, or you can rely on your narrator and you know, listen to tidbits of it and approve it. The quality of it is checked and on the final end, in other words, for background noise and that sort of thing, by Amazon. But it's something where you can be as involved as you want or not.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that bit of expertise with us. Now, you mentioned cover art earlier, and your wife, Bev, is in the cover art seat. So how does collaboration work for the two of you?
Generally, we will discuss the plot of the book. I'll give her my initial ideas for the book, and she'll tell me whether whether that sounds like it'd be a good story or not. And then as we go, she'll ask me what I'm thinking about for the cover. And I'll say, you know, like in The City Murders, we're looking for something that designates the city. In the Jason Murders, the Jason Strong series, it's a little more difficult depending on what it's about. So, like, we had a hard time with Driven to Kill. It involves semi-drivers. We ended up using a semi-truck, menacing semi-truck on the front. But it becomes, she starts to ask me what I think the focus of the book is, where we think we should go. And then she will go and find pictures that appeal to her that reference that. And she'll bring them to me, and we'll go over them. And the titling, that sort of thing, she does. I don't even know how to do it. But she'll send me a proof or two, and I'll look at it. And one of the things for writers I recommend, when your cover is sent to you, make it small. So we tend to look at things like, oh, yeah, it's a big picture and that sort of thing. But on Amazon and most of your book sites, it's only, you know, what, an inch by 2 inches or something like that, or even smaller. And so we'll take it and shrink it down and say, can you tell what that is by the size? And so we'll take different sizes and different fonts, and she'll play with it. And eventually we come up with something we like. Just as in with a writer, there's some covers that she loves, and there's some covers she just doesn't like. but nonetheless, she's very good at doing it.
Yes, she is. Your covers are delightful. So that's kind of fun that the two of you get to collaborate with this.
We do. And then when we get our first copies of the paperbacks and stuff, we're always looking forward to see how they look. And,
yeah.
and feel and touch. It's nice to have something in your hand. You know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's very wise of you to share that thought of shrinking it down.
Initial impression is so much. And if they can't figure out what it is, if they're peering at it, trying to figure out what it is, they're just going to go right on to the next one. Especially on in e-books and that sort of thing, people are not cruising the aisles of a bookstore slowly looking. I mean, it's just, you have such a fraction of time to get them to pause and look at your book. And a cover, I said that an editor is what I would pay money for. A cover comes in second to that. The cover is very, very important. But if there's not a good story, of course, it doesn't matter what the cover is.
Absolutely. You've got that covered, having Bev by your side. So that's kind of a neat situation. Now, as I mentioned at the top, you are quite prolific. In fact, you are writing full time. So maybe share a bit about your writing process. Where, when, how does all of that work for you?
If I start a book, I try to work on it steadily until it's done. I've been a couple of instances I've been interrupted in the middle of a book where I had to take a week or 10 days or 2 weeks away from it, and it's very difficult coming back to make sure you've got your plot, you know, you don't mess up the plot. But basically I'll start, for me, I'm what most people refer to as an outliner. I like the from start to finish to know what's going to happen next. And so I will start with a complete outline all the way to the end. The most important thing for me is to have a vision for the final scenes. So I can move through the story towards that vision I have for the final scene. And that outline will change as I go, but I need a place to start and a direction. And so I'm an outliner, and once I start, I like to go at it. And some people count words, some people do hours. For me, I tend to write until I start to feel tired, at which point for me, that's usually an hour and a half or 2 hours. I start to get the effort involved. I don't focus as well. And the only day I don't write is Sunday, and I'll just work at it. I usually end up doing somewhere around 1,500 words a day or so. And so if I stay at steadily, I usually finish, you know, about when I want to. And with the work, I'm one of those that will edit as he goes. Mm-hmm. You get different pieces of advice on how to do that. For me, what works best is I write, and then I will look at what I wrote the day before, fix some things I don't like, but that also gets me back in the place that I was to continue the story from that point. Mm-hmm. For me, the best part is what I call the discovery. When I write, I'm an outliner. I have a scene there, but what the characters are going to say and what's going to happen in that scene and their interactions is, it happens at that time. And that's the fun part for me. I'll come out of the office after writing and fill my wife's head with all these things that happened that I'm so excited about. Her eyes will glaze over he had another good writing day, I guess, you know, but that's the fun part.
You're like, you're holed up in your writing room, you and your characters, and you come out with a smile on your face, and everyone thinks, okay, you had a good time today.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, I come out and I'm all pumped up to tell her this happened, and it was just so exciting and all that, and of course she humors me at least pretends to be fascinated.
Whatever, it seems to be working. I was going to ask you about your characters, because as someone who outlines the plot, and you kind of answered that question, it sounds like these characters pretty much take off on their own.
I started a process with the City Murders. I don't know if it's unorthodox or what, but I will go and I'll know the basic characters I've got to have, the basic four or five or six or whatever it is. I'm going to have a detective and a lieutenant and a medical examiner or whatever the case may be. And I will go and find a picture of somebody online, just a generic person that fits my thoughts of who I want this person to be. and I will then put the name under that and some of the basics, like how old they are and how long they've been with the department or that sort of thing. And so the characters are named and have a face that I can use to build my description from. And then as the book goes on, suddenly I'll realize I've got to have, you know, a search and rescue guy. So, I'll just add somebody at that point. But I like to have an idea, especially in, like, the city murders. My main detective, who the story is built around, has to be somebody that's firm in my mind about who he is or she is.
So you do have a visual.
Yes, yeah. I like to have a visual. It makes it both. I'm not a big one for description when it comes to. My books don't tell you the color of all the trees in the forest. I try to give the reader enough of a general description of somebody or something that they can create a picture in their mind. And then as long as they're happy with that picture, I don't feel the need to change it. That'll be the picture they use the rest of the book. That's fine. It may not be the same as the, it may not be exactly as what I was trying to describe, but if they're happy with it, that's fine.
Absolutely. I like that. I like that.
And I find that I'm that way when I read. I like to hear, maybe hair color, eye color, race, whether they happen to be tall or not. But, unless it's important, I don't spend a lot of time with dimples and freckles.
Right. I agree. Unless it's germane to the storyline or to the character. All that detail sometimes is a bit much. Well, you're working on so many things here. What's next?
I'm getting ready to start a new Jason Strong novel. So it'll be it's amazing to me, but it'll be number 18.
18.
Yeah. And then after that I hope to have out before Christmas. And then after that is the next City Murders. And I'm doing something I think it's kind of fun, but the people seem to think so too, my readers, that I'm going to let the readers pick the city.
Oh.
So I'll be doing a thing through my website that they'll have three options that I've chosen, and they'll get to vote on which one, whichever gets the most. That's where I'll do the next city murders from. Because I get emails and letters that people say, well, I just loved, Seattle Homicide. It was in my neighborhood and I liked it. Or they'll say, gee, I sure hope you get to Philadelphia one of these days, and that sort of thing. So I figured I'd give them a little say in it, and then they'll have a chance to win something for voting. So that should be kind of fun.
I like that. It involves the readers in a very important way. Very, very smart. Oh, my gosh. Well, we've talked about quite a few things. Is there anything, though, that we missed that you wanted to talk about today?
I don't think so. I think we've covered it pretty well. For those that haven't read our books yet, I hope they'll pick one up. I do... through my website, the first book in the Jason Strong series is available for anybody that wants to sign up and get it free. They can read Where's My Son and see if anything appeals to them. I hope that some of your listeners will give us a try, and I hope they enjoy the books.
Absolutely. So share the website and any other venue or place folks can go to learn more about you and purchase your books.
The website is jcdalglish.com. They can go to Amazon and type in my last name. They will get two Dalglishes because my middle son is also a published author. And he's David, I'm John, and I'll show up. You can even Google my name and it'll give you my web page and that sort of thing. And then at the web page, you can find out everything. But there's also an Amazon author page that talks about our work as well, and I encourage people to check them out and see what they think.
So it's jcdalglish.com. That's jcdalglish.com. jcdalglish.com. And how exciting that you have a son that's an author too.
Yeah, that's how I got into it. He was one of the early, call it a pioneer, if you will, with Amazon when the whole Kindle thing was building, and he made the decision. And back then, the theory was if you went with electronic books and you went self-published, that the publishing industry wouldn't touch you. Mm-hmm. And so for him, it was a big decision. He decided to go self-published and has done very well. And it ended up that he did get published. Of course, all that has changed tremendously mm-hmm. since then. But I edited some of his books. And as a result, that's how my wife and I got into the conversation about me.
So this is a real family situation. We'll have to have your son on the show one of these days as well. That'd be fun. All right. So head over, folks, to jcdoglish.com. Thank you so much for today. And we will probably have to have you on again sometime as you finish more of your books.
That would be great.